Sportscast, August 22nd, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, iTunes, and Facebook, and like us on Facebook. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and review, hit subscribe, and visit us on thesportscast.net for the latest news. This is our college football preview show 2019, one of our biggest shows of the year, where we preview and predict what will happen in this season's college football. And to join us, we have Justin Riley, who is covering the SEC and Big 12. Mr. Hyde Turner, who is covering the Pac-12 and Big 10. And Kailu Borden, covering the Big 12. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
And I'll be covering the ACC. Ryan Krista was not able to show up, but he might show up anytime in the show. We'll find out what will happen. Let's go and start with the SEC, obviously one of the top-heavy conferences in the country. And Justin Riley, you're covering it, of course. Justin, tell us a little bit about the SEC. Yes. What do we expect to happen this year?
Well, I'll go ahead and say what we're all expecting. The top two are going to be Alabama and Georgia. So I'll go ahead and just knock that out. Alabama, as you know, Tua Tagovailoa is back after an amazing record-setting Heisman Trophy finalist campaign from 2018. Set school record of 3,966 yards, 43 touchdowns. He'll be back. A lot of his positive attributes will turn, but I feel like a lot of the negatives that we saw towards the end of last season will be corrected. The biggest question on the minds of a lot of Alabama fans, as well as anybody outside the SEC, is how healthy is he going to be? He had the injury bug happen quite a lot of bit last season, so will he be able to finally shake that? We don't know. And the biggest thing about Alabama's offense, as we know, are their wide receivers. Jerry Jeudy, Jalen Waddle, Henry Ruggs III, Devonta Smith, who combined for 3,597 yards and 38 touchdowns, averaging a whopping 17.65 yards per catch, So they're back. I expect them to pick up exactly where they left off. And if one of those guys can't do it, you got freshman John Mechie who can step right in. If you didn't see what he is capable of in the A-Day game, he had five catches for 133 yards and won MVP for that game. But a lot of people are really high on him coming into the season. Defense is loaded. Definitely a lot of star power coming back. The biggest question, or the thing that Alabama fans are most anxious about, is the return of linebacker Terrell Lewis and cornerback Trayvon Diggs. If you weren't paying attention last season, both were out. Terrell Lewis out for the entire season after suffering an injury in the preseason. Trayvon Diggs suffered an injury in the Arkansas game, and they did not come back. Terrell tried to come back, but they didn't want to force it, so he sat back down. So really needing him to step up. Actually both those guys to step up, because we got a lot of young guys and a lot of new places. But these young guys are pretty focused, pretty driven, and have a lot of expectations coming in. Antonio Alfano, five-star defensive end coming in, really shined in the spring. And so did defensive lineman DJ Dell, who's drawn comparisons to Payne, as well as Quinnen Williams. We'll see if he can live up to those lofty expectations. Alabama's thin at the inside linebacker position. They just lost fifth-year senior Josh McMillan. And towards the end of preseason practices, four-star Christian Harris, a freshman, had to step in. So is it going to be him, or is it going to be Jalen Moody or Shane Lee? We don't know. But Alabama should go through the SEC this year and be undefeated. I think they're going to have a huge test against Texas A&M. It's going to be at Kyle Field. And Texas A&M is going to be a team to watch this year. A lot of people thinking they actually might sneak up and beat some folks. But they do have the toughest schedule in the nation. So we'll see how that fares. Georgia, they're bringing back 13 starters from last year. they're ready to go from the get-go. Of course, Jake Fromm is one of those 13 starters coming back. should be a candidate for one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC, maybe even All-American, but there's a lot of quarterbacks out there who'd be vying for that. They do have one of the top offensive lines in the not only SEC, but the country. But and they also have DeAndre Swift right behind that, who's probably, I think, the best running back in the country right now. Biggest concern right now is transition of offensive coordinators, Jim Chaney to James Culley, and they've got some young wide receivers, but their defense is loaded. So Georgia and Alabama should rule the SEC East and West, respectively. So where does that leave everybody else? Mississippi State, I'll go right to them. It all depends on their quarterback situation. Looks like Tommy Stevens, the transfer from Penn State, should get the job. He's the most familiar with Joe Moorhead's offense and probably the most comfortable, probably the better passer of the two candidates there. And follow Mississippi State. You're probably not familiar with their running back, Colin Hill. He's probably one of the best SEC running backs. He just didn't get a whole lot of publicity because of carries being taken away by Nick Fitzgerald last year, because it seemed like it was Nick Fitzgerald up the middle, Nick Fitzgerald to the left, to the right, whatever. So he was kind of overshadowed. But one thing in Mississippi State's favor is their defense. They return Errol Thompson, Willie Gay, and Leo Lewis at linebacker. Man, that's about as tough as you can get. And they'll be in the NFL next year, probably early in the draft. That's if Leo Lewis can get his head together and stay out of the doghouse and do things that are respectable. They also have a good cornerback in Cam Dantzler. So defensively, that shouldn't be a problem for the Bulldogs. It's just a question of what can they get going offensively. They don't really have a big play wide receiver, and the receivers they do have aren't too reliable when it comes to catching. So the Bulldogs should have a good season. I'm thinking probably around 8 or 9 games, but it all depends on quarterback. Just jumping around to the east, they got Missouri. The biggest thing about them is, one, they're not eligible for postseason. They're still trying to appeal that. But the other big thing is they've got Kelly Bryant from Clemson, the transfer, leading the way. If you look at their schedule, they should be 8-0 leading up to their matchup against Georgia, and could give Georgia fits, but let's face it, Georgia's going to win that game. They do have a good running back, and Larry Roundtree, 1,200-yard rusher from last season, coming back, so that definitely helps. And the biggest thing that they have going for them is their tight end, and please forgive me if I mispronounce, Albert Okwuegbunam. Preseason All-American, one of the best tight ends in America, so Bryant has someone to throw to. 10 wins is a strong possibility for this team. Barry Odom is getting better as a coach, so I wouldn't be surprised if they make a little noise in the East. And then over to Texas A&M. Again, they're kind of talk right now, the preseason. A lot of people are looking at them as a dark horse. Some have even gone so far as to put them in the playoffs. I don't know how realistic that is. Considering their schedule, I mean, their schedule is just horrific. They play the number one team in the country, the number two team in the country, and the number three team in the country. That's a tall order. But don't be surprised. I think they're going to win one of those games. I think they're going to surprise Clemson or Alabama. I know that's a bold statement, but I think that they can do it because they have it home. So, but they're going to be as successful as Kellen Mond will take them. Me personally, I felt like Kellen Mond was going to have a breakout year each year he's been there, and I'm kind of hoping that this finally is the year. So it kind of depends on how well he does. I think he's a really good quarterback, but he just really hadn't taken that next step. The next thing is for them is who's going to replace Travion Williams at running back. Strong back. I think he ran for like 1,700 yards this past season. He's now in the NFL and for good reason. Coming back for them is Jashawn Corbin, very young, not a whole lot of carries last year. He did average 5.7 yards, per rush, but just not a whole lot of time toting the mail. They do have a good receiver in Courtney Davis, and he'll have to take on a lot of the pass catching duties because they just lost a big pass catcher in tight end Jay Sternberger. So that's a big hole, a big void to fill. They do have a strong defense. Justin Matabuke is one of the best defensive linemen in the country. So up front, they're going to be pretty relentless. And they have a pretty good defensive coordinator, Mike Elko. So is this the season that A&M turns the corner and gets to that elite level? I don't think they're quite there yet. I don't think they quite have the depth yet or the experience to get to that next level, but I do think they're very capable, like I said, of surprising some people this year. And like I said, either Alabama or Clemson. And then going on back to the West, LSU. Will Coach Orgeron finally get to that next level? It's like he's kind of been teetering on the edge there. I think he's been very stubborn in the past in the way he does things, but he's starting to adapt, starting to change, starting to do more. And I think he's going to actually allow his coordinators do something this year. That remains to be seen. Speaking of that, they did hire
Joe Brady, number six in the AP poll and also in the Sportscast poll, I believe.
Right, and with good reason. They have talent to be at that level. They have talent to be in that position. But can they go past that? Like I was saying, they hired Joe Brady, and there's been a lot of talk from especially their players on social media of having a dynamic offense. But my thing is with that, prove it. I got to see it. Can Joe Burrow be elite and do that? I think he's a good quarterback. I don't think he's going to be a quarterback that's going to necessarily get you in trouble. He's a great game manager, but I just don't know if he's elite.
Well, you think LSU's team is better than last year's team, or do you think it's the same? Or Brad?
I think it's kind of the same. LSU has some players on offense, but the biggest thing about LSU is they got great defense. But a great defense can only go so far as an offense. An offense is going to have to show up. I mean, yeah, they got Grant Delpit, they got Rashard Lawrence, they got Michael Divinity, and a host of other people. But if they're on the field a majority of the game, what good is it going to do? You know, they're replacing Nick Brissett at running back. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is probably the most talented of the running backs right now, but they do have freshman John Emery coming in, who has shown signs of being a pretty big-time back. But we all know LSU can run the ball, but are they going to be able to open the things up and pass it? That's a question we're going to have to ask. They're going to have to be a multidimensional offense in order to go past number six and be in the talk for an SEC West title, SEC championship appearance, and a playoff appearance. So I think LSU will probably win 10 games again this year. I think they missed the SEC championship again, but they're going to have a really good season. And then back to the East, Florida. Felipe Franks is in prime position to have a good year, but will he deliver? We've been waiting on him to deliver for a while. If anybody can get him to deliver, you know, it's going to be Dan Mullen because he's great at developing talent, especially that position. But is he going to get Felipe Franks at that elite level? Florida has not had an elite quarterback since Tim Tebow, and that really surprises me given that it's Florida. You telling me with all the talent they've had going through that school that they cannot find somebody at that position? It's crazy. You know, they have one of the league's deepest backfields and receiving core. You know, they have a good defense and a good, especially up front in the secondary, but they're going to have to get better at stopping the run. They allowed 162 yards rushing a game last year. And get this, their offensive line only returns one starter from last year. That's tough. They're still a step behind
Georgia. Sorry about this.
Ryan Christ has joined the show. We got Justin Riley talking about the SEC. Justin, please continue.
Oh, Ryan, I was just kind of addressing Florida. I don't know if you've been able to hear
perfect
anything,
timing.
But just kind of,
yeah, I know.
I just kind of go back since you just joined. My biggest thing is Felipe Franks is primed for a really good year. But my question, like I was telling the other guys, is he going to deliver? And I feel like if anybody can get him to deliver, it's going to be Dan Mullen. But, you know, I feel like, you know, we've been playing the waiting game with him for a while, you know, ready to see him take that next step. But he just quite hasn't done it. So, but again, they're going to be really good in defense. Like I was telling them, biggest thing for them defensively, they're going to have to work on stopping the run. They gave up 162 yards rushing last year. Then on the offensive line, they were turning one starter. So that's kind of scary to me.
We could have Ryan Krista. Can you tell us a little bit about Florida? What to expect this season?
You know, they, like Justin has said, you know, they returned only one starting offensive line, but you know, they have a lot of momentum coming from the end of the season last season. Quarterbacks under Dan Mullen usually flourish in the second year in the system, so expect big things from Felipe Franks. Kamahi developed from his freshman year to sophomore year last year. We're only expecting big things with all the weapons he has, have all the receivers back. You know, the only skill position they really lost last year was Jordan Scarlett. But they're, you know, receiver wise, they have Tyree Cleveland, Dan Jefferson, Travion Grimes, Frankie Hammond, Freddie Swain, you know, and the human joystick in Kadarius Toney in the backfield. You know, they got Marshall Prion and Willie Davis coming back from injury. They, you know, I don't know how explosive they will be, you know, but with an excellent play call in Mullen, and he'll design game plans around the lack of experience the offensive line. But as I think the season goes on and they get good protection, you know, this team will be explosive on offense. Defensively, you know, they have a lot of people back in the front seven. They did lose Chauncey Gardner in the, you know, the backfield and play up front. But, you know, they bring, you know, brought in graduate transfer Spring Yard from Louisville, who had his best season under Todd Grantham a couple of years ago. They expect the, you know, front seven to be pretty good. Defensive backfields, you know, where they have a little bit of attrition, they've lost some people in the preseason, you know, highly touted Chris Steele, never actually made it on campus, you know, or playing for the Gators, you know, left before the season started. Lost a couple of injuries with Brad Stewart. John Huggins just got kicked off the team. So, you know, they're a little thin in the butt. You know, expect three freshmen, Elam and Kimball, to be playing a lot in the season. So defensively, you know, I don't think this is going to be one of the better defensive teams, but for the first time in, you know, since Tebow, that, you know, the offense would actually be carrying this team.
Tyler, do you have any comments on the SEC this year?
I guess, what is that noise in the background?
Is that Kailu or that Ryan?
That's me. I'm at a baseball game right now.
Well,
all right.
We have to work through this.
You're telling me just to turn it off so you can hear it when he's not talking. Just mute the sound.
Okay, hold on.
You have to put the sound on your phone.
I don't think I can lower his volume. Ryan, can you go out?
Is that you?
Ryan, can't go in the background or something, or go in the back.
Ryan, can you? Ryan, you just Ryan, mute your phone while you're not talking.
Okay, he's muted. Go ahead, Ty.
Okay.
Well, if he's not done with the is he done with the SEC?
Yeah.
No.
Well, are you done, Justin?
I mean, I was going to go over a few.
Because he was. I mean, I guess the only couple points I would have is, I don't love Florida. The reason why I don't like Florida is because when you lose six guys to attrition and they're all in there, believe it or not, because you know I do my team talent formula, all six of those guys are blue chippers. One guy was a top 100 prospect. That's like eight quality points in my formula of talent that you lost. I you know, that's just really, and they were already like too negative on the depth. and take away six guys and now eight negative, 77 of the possible 85 guys that you can have on your roster. In the SEC, where there's just so many talented teams, that's just not good. All it's going to take is an injury to like a C.J. Henderson, their starting corner, or a Felipe Franks, or maybe a couple of those talented wide receivers. And stuff like that will just really affect them in such a tough conference. I could see Florida coming out and having a 7-5 year, despite Dan Mullen being such a good coach, because of the attrition that has happened over the past several months there. Other than that, I agree with Justin. I like Alabama. I like Georgia. I mean, those the two most talented rosters, and I just have a hard time seeing anyone else getting ahead of them. LSU does have a lot of talent, and they have some heck of some defensive guys. Grant Delpit's maybe the best defensive player in the country. I think he might end up being the number one pick, believe it or not, in the NFL draft.
Wow.
I love Jacob Phillips. He's one of the best linebackers in the country. They have Javion Chasen, who's one of the best. He's back from his injury, but he was a super talent coming out of high school. I love that defense. But once again, you just never know about the offense. They have great players. They have a couple five-star running backs. They have three five-star wide receivers. They have Joey Burrows, who is a guy that played at Ohio State. Now he played last year at LSU, but LSU just didn't somehow seem to get it together on offense. If they can, they could be a dark horse that could knock off Bama or Georgia. But I think those are the top three. And Florida is the one that right now I just think is getting a little too much love. The attrition, I just don't see it. I think they're going to be an 8-4, 9-3 team.
Kailu, how about you? Quick thoughts about the SEC.
I think the SEC is obviously going to be Alabama number one. You got Tua back. You got Gerald Doody coming back. You got Nick Saban. Georgia's going to be great. I think LSU is going to be great. But LSU, for me, is always like an 8-4. They always feel like a team that's going to always start off the year strong. And then LSU will have a game where they lose to Alabama. Georgia's obviously going to be in the conversation for the top four. They have a strong defense. So I think those are the three teams we should be concerned about. I'm not really high on Florida as everybody else is and as the polls show. So that's my top three.
Justin, close out SEC or forever hold your peace.
One thing I was going to add, you know, I definitely agree with the points that Tyler made, especially Florida. But the other thing is, too, there's a lot of negative energy surrounding the Florida program right now, a lot of drama that happened in the offseason. And you kind of also have to wonder, hey, how much of a distraction is that going to be carrying over to the football season? You know, where's the team as far as chemistry? You know, is this still going to be an issue with them? That's something I'd like to watch very closely. But, yeah, I just don't think they're quite ready yet. I think they were a better team last year, and they really lost some games they really should have won, but they didn't. But this year, like, you know, Tyler said, probably 7 games, 8 games is very feasible for them. But, again, it's all going to depend on if everybody stays healthy, if Felipe Franks actually turns out to be something worthwhile. We don't know. But, yeah, again, it's Alabama and Georgia's world right now, unless somebody slips up. And with Alabama, they have all the tools to do it yet again. The only thing is you know, defensively, on the first team, they were very good, very strong, but we're thin at some areas. We got a lot of inexperience. We got a lot of young guys having to step in. So it just kind of depends on how well they develop, how quick they can just, you know, jump on top of things, and can they play up to that standard that Coach Saban sets every year. And also, too, you know, is Alabama truly in revenge mode? After falling short of a title, or, you know, they're on their revenge tour, so to speak, they end up doing pretty well. And a lot of these players are very motivated, especially after getting thumped by Clemson 44-16. So are they going to carry that into the season, carry that chip on their shoulder and use that as fuel? Or will Alabama get complacent at times? So we just got to kind of see what happens there. But let's just face it, it's Alabama and Georgia's world right now. They're the kings of the SEC, and I think, again, Alabama's going to end up winning the SEC And they'll face Georgia in the title game, but they'll end up winning again.
The all-powerful SEC has a couple of teams in the top, in the very top 25, a lot of teams on the top 25, so we'll see what happens. What will do, what, where will they turn? Will they win it again, or will they fall into someone else's hands? Let's go into the Big 12. Kyle Borden, what's going to happen in the Big 12? I know Jalen Hurts, it's in Oklahoma, so what's your prediction?
I think, obviously, Oklahoma is going to win the Big 12. Obviously, having back-to-back Heisman's what Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray. But this year, I'll be watching specifically the offensive line. We lost Orlando Brown. We've lost Drew Samaya. And the only returning player we have is Creed Humphrey, our center, which is, I expect him to have a really good year. But for me, Oklahoma's going to be all about our defense this year. We obviously already lost Trey Norwood to a non-contact injury. So for me, it's going to be all about Alex Grinch and how well we play defensively, because we struggled defensively in the last couple of years. And that's going to determine how well of a run we can make, because we haven't won a national championship since 2000. So that's going to, for me, determine how well, because we already know our offense is going to be explosive. Jalen Hurts is 26-2 as a college quarterback. He's won a national championship. Lincoln Riley is one of the best young college football coaches in the game. So that's, for me, going to determine how far we go. In terms of who I have finishing second, Texas. They beat Georgia in the Sugar Bowl last year. I expect Sam Ehlinger to take that next step. Tom Herman is a terrific coach. So I expect them to finish second. And in terms of three or four, it's going to be Oklahoma State. Baylor is going to be my sleeper. Baylor has a young, good defensive line. And four is going to be Iowa State, because they don't really defend well. So those are going to be my top four.
Thank you, Kyle. Justin, what are your thoughts about the Big 12 this year?
Yeah, I think he's right. I'm going to echo exactly what he's saying. I think Oklahoma's biggest thing is are they going to be able to put some defense on the field? It's like they've been, just avoiding it, so to speak, because it's like they're putting all of their efforts into offense, and their offense is great, and it has some of the best talent in the country, coming back, especially C.D. Lamb, and then you got Trey Sermon and company in the backfield, and not to mention, Jalen Hurts. And I think Jalen's going to have a great year. I think learning under Lincoln Riley, someone who really understands offense, is one of the best offensive minds in the game, who's on a different level than any coach that he's had offensively, is going to allow Jalen to get to his peak performance. And I think he's going to have his best season yet. I think he was improving tremendously this past season, sitting on the bench, really learning and studying. And he showed he had a really good showing and in the spring and in the spring game. So I think he's going to have a big year. I think he'll be the Big 12 Player of the Year, and I think he'll actually be a Heisman finalist. I wouldn't be surprised if he actually won the Heisman. Texas is going to be the number two. Jalen
Hurts. You think Hurts is going to be a Heisman finalist?
I think he'll be a finalist. Yes.
Oh no, I don't.
Why is that, Tyler?
No. Well, okay. I'm gonna be a little okay. I actually think Texas wins the Big 12.
Really?
I like Sam Ehlinger better than Jalen Hurts. I've seen them both play. While Ellinger's not a great passer, he can get it done. He had some great receivers, Colin Johnson, Joshua Moore. I think Moore might be getting suspended here for stealing stuff, but he had some. And I like that defense of Texas. I like B.J. Foster. I like Caden Stearns. I like some of those guys that on the D-line that can get after quarterback. I like that defense better than I like Oklahoma's defense. I think Texas's defense is more talented. And I think that Sam Ehlinger, I think, can do a little bit more as a quarterback. I look at Sam Ehlinger kind of in the same light as like a Tim Tebow. I don't think he's going to be a great pro quarterback. But I think he's a better college quarterback than Jalen Hurts.
Kyle, what do you think about
Hurts can't hit the broadside of a barn. I mean, and I know that Lincoln Riley does miracles, but I mean, you got CeeDee Lamb, you got Trajan Bridges, you got Theo Weiss, you got Jaden Hasselwood, you got amazing running backs. So, I mean, they're going to score points in bunches in the Big 12 because of who they, all the talent they have on offense. I still don't like them defensively. I still think they have great talent defensively. Alex Grinch is a good coach, but it's a culture that is more than anything, that's more important than even talent is very important. I should say that. Talent and culture. I think the culture in Oklahoma is built around offense. Remember the culture in Oregon under Chip Kelly's days?
Yeah.
It was that high tempo, it was that fast offense. And Riley is kind of in the same ilk of a Chip Kelly. And I don't think they're going to ever have a great defense. And I don't think they're recruiting good enough on that side of the ball. And I think this year, because Sam Ellinger, I think, is one of those players, he's just a very good college player, kind of like a Tim Tebow. And I like Texas's defense better. I like that defensive backfield. I think it's by far the best defensive backfield in the Big 12. And I think they have enough guys even in the front seven. I got Texas. I think Texas is going to be Oklahoma this year.
Kailu, any closing words on the Big 12? Do you think Texas can do it?
I don't think Texas is going to do it, and here's for two reasons. Texas doesn't beat Oklahoma in big games. I also think that Oklahoma has nowhere to go but up. Oklahoma's defense has gotten embarrassed in the last couple of years, allowing 20 straight points to Alabama. So when you hear all the outside noise, I think Oklahoma's defense has nowhere to go but up. It's been terrible the last couple of years. So even if Oklahoma's defense goes from 100 to 50, that's still a great improvement. It's not going to be a top 15, top 20 defense, even top 25. It's not going to be unworldly. But when you have nowhere to go but up, I think Oklahoma's defense is going to be a lot better. Plus, I think that Texas doesn't beat Oklahoma in big games, as we saw in Dallas.
They beat them last year. They beat them in the Red River Rivalry last year.
But I also think that Lincoln Riley is a good enough coach. I also think Lincoln Riley is a good enough coach and experienced enough coach to be able to get it done.
But they beat them last year. You said they beat them in a big game. They beat them last year in the Red River Rivalry.
True.
Big 12. I don't know.
We'll find out. Justin, what do you think about the Big 12?
Well, my thing is, I'll piggyback on both of it. You know, yes, they beat them during the regular season. That's the regular season. When it comes time to the title game, will Texas be able to get to that level where they can win the big game? Because up until recently, they really haven't been relevant in the whole grand scheme of things. You know, they've gone to okay bowls, but they've kind of struggled for quite some time. So that big game experience, it's just not there with Texas. But they had those big game experiences this past year. You know, they won during the regular season. But when they got to the title game, I honestly thought they could have won that game. But just due to inexperience and immaturity, you know, they lost. And Oklahoma was the eventual champion of that conference and went on to play Alabama and got beat. But Texas is really going to have to prove they have matured enough to win that big game and do it all. And can Tom Herman get them to that level? That's something we're just going to have to see. They're going to meet in the title game. So we'll find out then.
Big 12, of course, a big mystery there. Let's go to the Pac-12, the West Coast. Tyler's a specialty in that. Of course, will Oregon do it this year? Tyler, all yours.
Hold the most maligned conference in college football. You know, all you ever hear is super down. And, the biggest thing is to make that narrative kind of stick is USC has always been the flag bearer of the Pac-12, and USC's down. And UCLA has also been up there, and they're down. So it gives kind of that feeling that the Pac-12 is down. And Pac-12 has only made the college football playoff twice in the college football playoff era. Last time Washington made it, they didn't do very well. So I understand it, but I think you're really starting to see an uptick of certain teams, and my Ducks is definitely probably the head of that. They've done it by great recruiting and good development of guys like Justin Herbert and Shane Lemieux and Calvin Throckmorton. And so, I definitely think that this year Oregon has the team to definitely win the Pac-12 and I believe to make the college football playoff. There is a couple caveats. Most of the talent the best talent on the Oregon Ducks roster is still very young. They landed the top 10 class this last season. They landed the top 15 class the season before. And those guys are freshmen and sophomores. Young talent is what it is. They're going to be talented. They have the ability to do good, great things. But they're also young and inexperienced. Luckily, another thing I was going to mention is that Oregon's toughest games are all on the road this year. So all their every team that they play that has the talent and the overall just program to beat them or compete with them is on the road. They got Auburn. It's a neutral site game. It's still a road game. You got Washington at Washington. You got Stanford. You got Stanford. USC's a mess, but they're still the most talented team on paper in the Pac-12. It's at USC. So that's kind of difficult, along with the most of the best, most talented players being young. The great thing that you have is that you had your best player and the guy that was going to be a first-round draft pick in Justin Herbert come back. So that's nothing but a positive. You also had a couple of his key offensive linemen, both who are two of the better offensive linemen, both receiving preseason All-American honor consideration in tackle Calvin Throckmorton and guard Shane Lemieux. You also got some other talented offensive linemen on the team. Jake Hansen's been a four-year starter. Brady Aiello has been a four-year starter. Dallas Warmack, who actually was a transfer from Alabama, he's in the rotation. And then probably the most talented guy of them all was a guy that's a highly regarded prospect out of Utah, Penei Sewell. He was a freshman All-American last season despite missing half the season. Their offensive line is considered, actually 247 Sports did an article today, it's considered the best offensive line in the country. I don't know. I mean you have some great offensive lines in Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Michigan. So, but it's a good offensive line, and they've graded well by the PFF, a couple of the highest graded players at their position, and a very experienced, I think, between the five guys coming back, it's like 138 career starts, which is pretty crazy. And I think three of them, this is their fourth year starting. So, I mean, you do have a lot of experience. You got some talent on that offensive line. You got the best quarterback in the Pac-12, a top five quarterback nationally, a guy that's going to receive Heisman consideration in Justin Herbert. You bring back your top three rushers. C.J. Verdell rushed for 1,000 yards as a freshman. 700 yards for Travis Dye as a freshman. Darian Felix is back. He ran for a couple hundred yards as a freshman. Cyrus Abibilico led the team with, I think, 8 touchdowns. He's back. You bring back most of your receivers. They do lose Dylan Mitchell, and Dylan Mitchell is by far the most impactful receiver. Now, the issue with the receiving core right now is you had about 6 guys who are going to be in the rotation. 2 of those guys are already out for the first 4 games. Brendan Schooler, he broke his foot, and Micah Pittman broke his collarbone. So that's unfortunate because that, of all the offense, you have the best quarterback in the Pac-12, you have the best line in the Pac-12, you have maybe the best running back duo in the Pac-12. The receivers were the question mark because they didn't perform great last year. They led the Power 5 with 52 drop passes. So they were the one group that had a question mark. You thought, well, you brought in a couple really highly talented players. You had the grad transfer from Penn State. Well, all of a sudden, 2 of those guys are out for the first 5 games with broken bones. So that's the one question mark on offense. And hopefully we can figure something out and guys can play to maybe above their abilities. Guys like returning starter Johnny Johnson or Jalen Redd and grad transfer Juwan Johnson can make plays in those first few games to make up for those absences. On defense, they did lose some of their best players. They lost Justin Hollins, Jalen Jelks, and Ugo Almadi to the draft. But this is where they've recruited extremely well. Believe it or not, Oregon's an offensive school. But actually, last 3 cycles, the best players that they've gotten are on defense. Kayvon Thibodeau, 5-star, the number 2 player in the country. We got him. He's going to be in there in the rotation. Mace Tafuna, top 100 guy out of Matter Day in California. He's on there. DJ Johnson, top 100 Under Armour All-American, transfer from Miami. He's on there. So they got some really Dominor Lenore, Thomas Graham at the secondary, Jevin Holland in the secondary. So our defense is actually really good talent-wise. We are young. Most of our best players are freshmen, sophomores, a couple are juniors. So, but we do have senior Troy Dye, who's been the leading tackle on the team for 3 years. I think he's a preseason All-American, if I'm not mistaken, at least by a couple of outlets. So, young defense, new coordinator. Jim Leavitt's gone. Andy Avalos is now in. We got a new coordinator, most part young defense, but we have a lot of talent. Can they get it going? We'll see. I think Auburn's a tough game. Gus Malzahn is a great offensive mind. He has a lot of talent on his offense. I think that's going to be a tough game for that team. So hopefully we're able to, stand up enough. They're going to be starting the freshman Bo Nix. So hopefully he makes some mistakes, and hopefully our guy. Other than Oregon, I would say the two best teams are going to be Washington. Two other teams are close in the ratings to us. We're all pretty close. I would say Washington and Utah. I think Utah wins the South. I just think they have the best team. They return a lot of the best players. That's the defensive lineman, Jalen Johnson, the corner. They return Tyler Huntley, the quarterback. Zach Moss, who might be the best running back. And Kyle Whittingham, he does a lot. He doesn't get the most talent. Doesn't even have top 40 talent in America. Doesn't even have top 6 talent in the Pac-12. But you know what? He makes the most of what he has. And that, combined with just kind of a weaker division, I think they win the South. I think the North is really going to come down to who wins in Seattle. If Oregon loses in that, they could even be 11-1 or 10-2 with maybe a loss to Auburn and find themselves not in the Pac-12 title game. I don't think Washington's going to lose a lot of games. I think Chris Peterson is the best coach in the Pac-12, better coaches in college football. Washington has, along with Oregon, probably the second or third most talented roster in the Pac-12. And then most of the tough games against, like, USC, against Utah, against Oregon are all at home. So I think it's going to come down to those two, and I think it's going to be Utah, which, you always have to watch out for USC. They have the most talent in the conference, but they're a mess. Clay Helton is going to be talking about having him fired every other day. They're talking about firing Lynn Swann, the AD. So who knows what you get from USC, but I'm going to go – Utah in the North. I want to say Oregon with my heart, but I don't know. They're going on the road to Washington. I don't know if they beat them.
You think? Would you think like the Auburn game as well would be another tough one as well?
Well, I already said that. Yeah, I mean, I think Auburn will be tough. I actually think they beat Auburn.
Okay.
I do think Oregon beats Auburn.
You're more confident with Auburn. Okay.
Because, the talent is close enough, and when you have on one sideline a true freshman starting, and on the other sideline you have a 4-year starter, one of the top 5 players in the country, and a guy who's going to be a first-round draft pick, you have to go with that. Whereas the Washington game is...
Gus.
Go ahead, Justin.
Gus Malzahn's a good coach. I mean, he's a good offensive coach.
Justin, what do you think?
Kevin Steele's
go ahead, Justin.
Kevin Steele's one of the better defensive coordinators in college football.
Auburn's great defensively. I just feel like Gus Malzahn just gets in his own way too much, and I really feel like that he underperformed last year with Jarrett Stidham, who's doing fantastic right now at the Patriots camp. I just feel like that he's hanging his hat on, having Cam Newton, X number of years ago. I just don't think that he's a stellar coach. I think he bungles things way too much. And I think that he's going to be out-coached, especially from offensive mindset. That's why I think Oregon has the advantage. And not to mention,
out-coached, but what has Mario Cristobal proven in his career that he can out-coach someone?
I think he can out-coach Gus Malzahn.
I don't know if he's proven it, though. I mean, I'm thinking as an Oregon fan, what has Cristobal done in his career that's proven he can out-coach anyone?
Wow. This you'll see it on display in this game. And I'm not saying that because I'm an Alabama fan who hates Auburn. I don't hate Auburn. I cheer for the other SEC teams when they, don't play us. I'm just being realistic, and having Justin Herbert.
Yeah,
that's it.
I mean, that's That's where I just see it is like, hey, you have a senior quarterback. He's not just a senior quarterback. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the country on one sideline. And I think Bo Nix is a good player. I think he's one of the best. He's a five-star, one of the best quarterbacks to come out of the last class. He still is a true freshman playing on the road in his first game in the what is the biggest game of the week. I just Absolutely. Think if you can figure out a way, and Oregon does have some really talented pass rushers. Kayvon Thibodeau, DJ Johnson, Josh Cumberland, Andrew Jackson, Mesa Funa. These guys are big-time prep prospects. If he can get those guys to get after Bo Nix and make Auburn one-dimensional where they're just running, and then when Nix does make plays, make them have a couple mistakes, I don't think Justin Herbert's going to make very many mistakes. Now, that being said, Auburn has a hell of a D-line. Derrick Brown is maybe the best defensive tackle in the country. Nick Coy is one of the best defensive linemen in the country. Marvin Davison's no joke. So, and even in linebackers, Owen Popola, I think it's N'Kobe McClain. I mean, these guys are all going to be on NFL rosters in the next couple of years. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. But I think where the Auburn game it comes down to is Justin Herbert versus Bo Nix. And if a true freshman can beat one of the best senior quarterbacks in the country, oh my gosh, that, props to him, you know.
Justin Riley has to go, but any final words before you go, okay, Justin? Dude. I guess he left already. Okay. Kailu, what are your thoughts about the Pac-12?
I would have to favor Oregon because Justin Herbert is one of the best quarterbacks in the nation, and it's his senior year. So I would always take experience over things. You have one of the better offensive lines in college football. You have a good defense, so I would have to favor Oregon because experience is always thing, especially when you're in the SEC, and the Pac-12 should be a relatively Oregon's, you know, conference. So I think you always have to favor experience when you're dealing with young players. You always have to tend to go more senior.
Ryan Krista, I know he's on mute, but if you could unmute your phone, that'd be awesome.
I agree with Tyler and Caillou. You know, Oregon and the North, a lot of experience, but you know, obviously Tyler nailed it on the head. It comes down to Oregon versus Washington, and we really don't know what Jacob Eason has. You know, I mean, he has played, you know, since the beginning of the year, 2 years ago. So, you know, he was a 5-star quarterback too. In the South, you know, it's hard not to pick USC. You know, I mean, they're a little dysfunctional, but the talent, you know, is more than any other, you know, South team. You know, I think I really want to see UCLA get back on track with Chip Kelly. I think he's a good coach, but he's got to start recruiting. But you know, USC, Utah game will determine, you know, probably who wins the South, you know, and if it's Oregon, USC, I gotta go with the Ducks.
There you have it. Tyler, any closing words on the Pac-12?
Yeah, like I said, I think it's going to come down to Oregon or Washington. I think the winner does win the Pac-12. I think there's a good chance that the winner actually ends up sneaking into the college football playoff. I just don't know. I'm trying to think of who I'm going to pick. I want to go with Oregon, but Washington is extremely tough to beat in Seattle, and they have one of the best defenses, not just in the Pac-12, but in the country. And I think it's going to be while Jacob Eason, I don't think he's on the level of Justin Herbert. He's still a good quarterback. He started for Georgia. Yeah, that's what I think it'll come down to.
Let's go to the ACC. By the way, the ACC channel launches in a few minutes. Ryan Krista, what do you think is going to happen in the ACC? Obviously, it might be very predictable, but what are your thoughts?
Predictable, you are right, Santiago. You know, it's Clemson in the bad news here, as I like to say. Especially, the division opposite of Clemson is, you know, I think any college football expert, they, you know, the division of the equivalent is a dumpster fire. You know, the talent level, the recruiting in that division, you know, it's not up to par.
So that being said, you know, we'll find out a lot about Miami, you know, Saturday against Florida. Virginia Tech last year, you know, they so high expectations, you know, after that Florida State game opening week, can they get back on track? You know, with Pittsburgh just, you know, can they win? Can they repeat as winners at division? It's kind of a dark horse, in the whole conference. You know, I'm kind of big on the Boston College Eagles. Return, you know, the quarterback and running back. You know, I think this team I think they can get to 9-10 wins, you know. But unfortunately, you know, going against Clemson, you know, it's going to be tough for them.
Who do you think will win the Coastal?
You know, if you had a pick today, you know, I'm going to go Miami.
Wow. I picked Virginia.
Virginia is kind of a trendy pick, but, you know, I just don't think they have a lot of talent there. You know, I mean, me and Ty talk about this a lot. You know, recruiting means so much in college football, and I just don't think they've been recruiting at the top level as a lot of the AC, other, you know, not country, you know, they may be comparable to the ACC, but, Bryce Perkins is a good quarterback. You know, brother of ex-UCLA running back Paul Perkins. But I just don't see them, winning. You know, they may win it. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised with anybody from next, you know, division winning. But today I'm going to go with Miami because I think, you know, they have the most talent in that division. The jury's still out on Jerry Williams. You know, is he going to be the long-term quarterback for us? They're going to go back to Nicolsi Perry or Tate Martell, you know. I mean, this that's why, you know, this, you know, Saturday isn't going to define Miami's season necessarily, but it's going to tell you how good they are. And I'm really fond of the Miami front seven because I think it's definitely, you know, upper echelon, you know, in regard to the front seven. But, you know, I think right now the offense lacks a lot of, you know, explosiveness, so we'll see what. You know, the question I'm thinking, you know, is Dan Enos going to do a lot of the RPOs that he did with last year with Tua, or is he going to go more that, you know, that ground and pound that we saw when he was the offensive coordinator with Arkansas?
That is the question about Miami. They got good coaches, and of course, the quarterback they've chosen, not Tate Martell, but Jaren Williams. Tyler, what are your thoughts about the ACC? Is it very predictable?
Yeah, I don't think anyone's beating Clemson, if that's what you mean. I think Miami does have Miami and Florida. Florida State has a lot of talent, but I just don't trust them because of the culture there. I started in the division back until last year, and the Tigers, they just have not been good the past few years. But they do have talent, and then so does Miami, but they have a new coach. And they have a difficult schedule, too. I like Chris when he said Boston College. A.J. Dillon is one of the best running backs in college football. And they'd be a team to watch out for. I also, you know, Virginia, they have Bryce Hall, possibly the best cornerback in college in football. And I think Bronco Mendenhall is a good coach. But they, like he said, their talent is way down there. Can they get away with it in the ACC? I don't know. They're less talented than Virginia Tech, and they haven't beaten Virginia Tech in years. I think it's been like a decade or more since they've beaten them. And I probably would take Virginia Tech over them. I think the Coastal's kind of wide open. I think it's definitely Clemson on the other side. I think Dino Babers has done a good job at Syracuse, but unfortunately – I just think they have a little bit of a talent issue, but I think he's a good coach. He's obviously beaten Dabo Sweeney a couple times, too, which is impressive. But, yeah, I got Clemson. I got Clemson probably over maybe Virginia Tech. Clemson over Virginia Tech.
Virginia. Okay, for ACC. Okay, great. Obviously, Syracuse. There's only two teams that was in the top 25 in the AP poll, and it was Clemson and Syracuse. So not much happening in ACC. Kailu, what are your thoughts about the ACC, real quick?
I think it's going to be Clemson, and then I'm high on Virginia Tech. I think Boston's going to do pretty well. So those are my three. I think Clemson's going to run away with it. So I don't really have that much expectations for the ACC.
Ryan, any closing words on the ACC?
Sandy, we've been talking ACC football for 10 minutes, and we haven't brought back probably the biggest name in the ACC, and that's Florida State. Isn't that crazy? That's part of this program is called.
I was about to bring them up, but anyways, go ahead. What do you think about Florida State?
Last year was an absolute train wreck for Willie Taggart in his first year. I mean, so bad, you know. I mean, a lot of people wanted them out. They lost DeAndre Francois, you know, so now they're going to, you know, they got a host of quarterbacks they're going to go to, you know, the Blackman, you know, a couple of transfers and one from Louisville, and then Alex Hornibrook from Wisconsin. I think Blackman will be the start at the beginning of the year. But, you know, the best addition might have been Kendall Briles, the son of former Baylor coach Art Briles, who brings that up-tempo Reggie Ralph from sideline to sideline offense that was successful last year in Houston. And also, you know, remember Santiago, he was also very successful 2 years ago down in South Florida with the FAU Owls when they won 10 games. So if you can do that at FAU, I think he definitely can, do that at Florida State. It's just a matter of, you know, the cultural, you know, they got obviously a lot of talent in that roster. Let's just bring it all together, you know. I definitely think they're going to go bowling this year. I just don't think it's going to be, you know, 9-10 wins. I think they get to 8 this year, 8-4.
And will you be watching the ACC Network?
I cannot, Santiago. I have Dish Network right now, and we are currently in the black when it comes to the ACC Network. So hopefully they got 7 days to get me that before Clemson and Georgia Tech next week. So.
Sounds good. Ryan, you could you can mute your phone, but wait for us till the end of the show. We'll be predicting some more stuff. Let's go to the Big Ten, finally, the last conference. Tyler, what do you think about the Big Ten this year?
Okay, I'm trying to get my couldn't take. The Big Ten. The Big Ten's actually missed out on the playoffs, believe it or not, for the last 2 years. I think I like the Big Ten, first of all. I think they probably are the second most respected conference, right, next to the SEC. They most SEC's king, and then you'd probably say Big Ten's second best conference. Most of that's due to the Big Ten East, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, and to a lesser extent, Michigan State. I think a lot of it's the same this year. Those are the three most talented teams in the Big Ten, sorry, by considerable margin. Well, Ohio State's definitely the most. And then you have Penn State and Michigan. Michigan's getting a lot of love. They got a lot of love last year, too. People love Jim Harbaugh. They love Michigan, one of the great blue bloods in college football history. And they're top 10 in every poll. A lot of people are saying they're going to beat Ohio State. Like they've beaten them twice in 17 years. So I'll believe it when I see it. What I like about Michigan is they're bringing back quarterback, bringing back most of their weapons, Nico Collins, Devin Peoples-Jones, Tariq Black, the running back. I know they brought that good kid, Zach Chardonnay, out of California. I don't know if he's going to play a lot this year. That's got Giles Jackson, who's a kind of a gadget guy in the slot, who should be a good guy. They have a great offensive line. They have one of the best offensive lines in the country, experienced, talented. Defensively, they lost a lot. Now, Don Brown's one of the better defensive coaches in college football, except for the Ohio State game last year, my goodness. But other than that, he's widely considered one of the best defensive coaches. He did lose some of his best players, lost Devin Bush, lost Rashawn Gary, lost David Long. And I don't know if they've necessarily recruited as well, especially on the defensive ball. They've actually recruited a little better on the offensive side. You know, they have some good guys. Okay, Chase Winovich also is gone. So they have guys back. They have a good defensive coordinator, but I don't think it's an elite defense. I think it's good. I don't think it's elite. Ohio State,
you know, Justin Fields won it. I don't care what they said. I always knew he was going to win it. I mean, you have a Paul Rathera of five stars, Cameron Babb. You got the Garrett Wilson kid. You got J.K. Bobbins, who's one of the best running backs in the country. You got a solid offensive line. Now, defense, you got Chase Young. If Grant Delpit, Chase Young, Tua Tagovailoa, one of those guys is going to be the number one draft pick. Jeffrey Okudah is probably going to be a top 10 pick. He's at the corner position. I love the talent on their defense. New defensive coordinators. Obviously, a new head coach in Ryan Day, but Ryan Day's literally taken over, in my formula, the number two most talented roster in college football. And then there's Penn State. Penn State, they have question marks on offense. They lost Trace McSorley. Their running backs left in the draft. Now they've really gotten some good running backs. They've recruited well. Devin Ford, Noah Kane. I forgot there's another kid, Slade. Something Slade. He was a five-star the year before. They've recruited really well. Recruited amazing on defense. Micah Parsons, Brandon Smith. They got the Ellis kid at linebacker. They got some D-backs. I know the one kid ended up going in the portal. He came back. He was a big-time recruit coming out of high school. I love the talent that Franklin has put together on the defensive side of the ball. If they can get something out of that offense, they have some talent. Like I mentioned, a couple of running backs, some shorter, the receiver. They have a couple tight ends that are pretty talented. If that Clifford can do something at the quarterback position, watch out for Penn State. They get Ohio State. Well, they play at Ohio State, but they get Michigan at Penn State. It's going to come down to those three. I'm pretty convinced it's going to be one of those three. I haven't quite looked at their schedules enough. At the end of the day, Ohio State, I think, is the most talented roster. They have had both Penn State and Michigan's number. I think I'm going to go Ohio State in Big Ten.
Big Ten East.
In the Big Ten. Big Ten East. Now, the Big Ten West doesn't have the talented teams, but you got some very, very good teams. You have several teams in the top 25, Nebraska, Iowa. Northwestern was in the coaches' poll. They weren't in the AP. Wisconsin. So you got some very good teams. I don't think you have any great teams. I think you have a bunch of solid teams. I like Nebraska. They're other than Oregon. They're my other favorite team. I like what Scott Frost has done. They had a 4-8 year last year. I love Adrian Martinez. I think he's definitely one of the most talented young quarterbacks in the country. I like some of the weapons behind him. Maurice Washington, he's in trouble with the law right now. If he can get through that hurdle and play, he's a good player. Warndell Robinson is a gadget guy who they brought in this year's recruiting class. I like J.D. Spielman out of the backfield. I don't love their defense. I really don't think they have anyone that is even they're solid to average defensively. Most of their talent's on offense. I think they're going to score a lot of points. I think they're going to give up a lot of points. Their schedule sets up really nice. The three toughest games, Wisconsin, Iowa, and Ohio State, all at Lincoln. And most of the away games aren't really against top-level teams like Colorado. And I think they play at Purdue. That's going to be a pretty decently tough game. I like Wisconsin. Graham Mertz is a good young quarterback. They're always going to be on the line. Jonathan Taylor is one of the best running backs in the country. I like him. I like Iowa. I like Knight Stanley coming back. They lost their two big tight ends. They have the best defensive end and maybe in the country, a guy who's probably going to be a top 10 pick in AJ Espienza. I think if I was going to, I'd have to look a little closer at the schedules. I don't think it's going to all be 9-3 teams, I believe, in the West. I'm going to take Nebraska. I think Nebraska's schedule sets up nice. I liked it to get Wisconsin. I liked it to get Ohio State midseason at Nebraska. I think they maybe pull off an upset in there, maybe against Ohio State. I got Nebraska versus Ohio State. I take Ohio State. They have too much talent. Even if Nebraska upsets them in Lincoln early in the season, there's no way they beat them at a neutral site for the Big Ten champion. So the Big 12, 10 champion is, in my opinion, is going to be Ohio State. And I have Nebraska be in the Big Ten West
champion.
How about you, Kylie? What do you think will take the Big Ten?
I think it's going to be Ohio State, and then I think it's going to be Michigan. I think even though you don't have Urban Meyer, I think Ryan Day is going to continue with the program's legacy, and I think it's going to be Ohio State, then it's going to be Michigan.
Sounds good. Ryan Krista, if you can get back on, I know you're hearing us. What are your thoughts about the Big Ten?
It's going to be where I think it lies. I think it's going to be again Ohio State. And I'm going to go with Northwestern in the West. I think Hunter Johnson, you know, a big addition to the team. And I think, you know, I think it'll be another rematch from last season with Ohio State win.
Tyler, what do you think about Northwestern? Do you think they have a potential to win the Big Ten West?
Yeah, I mean, they won it last year. I liked it. Pat Fitzgerald is a terrific coach. They got Hunter Johnson, the transfer from Clemson, who's going to be the starting quarterback. I think, once again, it's just a little bit of a talent issue, and they have a tough schedule. You know, they have to play Stanford opening week, and Nebraska and Iowa, Wisconsin. I can't remember. They play, I believe it's, I'm not looking at the schedule right now, but I believe they play Penn State and Michigan. You'd have to look at me. I just think I think it's like Nebraska 9-3, Northwestern 8-4, Wisconsin 8-4, Iowa 8-4. I think they're all around 3 losses in conference. I just have Nebraska off the top of my head getting the tiebreaker. But if I looked at it closer, I might be able to give you a more accurate. I don't think there's anyone great in the Big Ten West. I just think there's a lot of very solid teams, a lot of very solid coaches, and Coach LaFrance, Coach Fitzgerald, Coach Frost. But I just don't think there's a talent level that they can compete with the East. I think the 3 best teams in the Big Ten are Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State. Those are the 3 best teams in the Big Ten. But they all play in the East. So only one team can win the East. And I think Ohio State is the dog right now. But the 3 best teams are Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State.
And do you think Harbaugh is a do-or-die year for him?
No. That's stupid.
Okay. Justin Riley, we're talking about the Big Ten. What are your thoughts about the Big Ten?
The Big Ten is more like the Big Two. It's Ohio State and whoever else happens to be good that year.
We're pretty much convinced Ohio State is going to win this, aren't they?
Well, you have to admit that Michigan and Penn State have the talent. Michigan and Penn State I agree with you. I mean, Ohio State. How many Big Ten titles has Ohio State won in the last 10 years, like 8. So you have a point.
There's a great disparity.
I think that Penn State and Michigan have the talent to compete and possibly beat them.
Well, yeah, I do agree. And the thing is about Ohio State is I think they're probably the best team in the Big Ten again. But they always had this awesome tendency of dropping a game they had no business losing, you know, like Iowa a few years ago, this past season to Purdue. So what's going to be that game this year? Have they finally gotten over that hump? Have they finally moved past that, you know, in their careers? I don't know. And this is a lot of new things, and a new regime is there. So what is he going to be able to do? What's Ryan Day going to be able to do that Urban Meyer couldn't do? I'm not sure, but they have enough talent to win the Big Ten again. However, I can see them tripping up to Penn State. I think Penn State's very talented. You know, they're breaking in a new quarterback. You know, losing Trace McSorley is a big deal. You know, he's one of the better quarterbacks they've had in recent memory. But I think Franklin can get them to the point to where they can finally beat Ohio State. I wouldn't be surprised that they do it this year. But then again, if they don't, I understand. But it's going to be Ohio State's ball game. But, you know, Michigan State could creep up and do something as well. Michigan, it is, to me, I don't know if I agree, Tyler. I think that it is kind of do or die for Jim Harbaugh. I think Michigan fans are getting quite restless But those of us who are more realist, what better can they do than Jim Harbaugh right now? What other big name coach can come to Michigan and turn that program around and get them back to being Michigan? I don't see anyone else right now that comes to mind that can do that right now. So Jim Harbaugh is your best bet. So my question is, do Michigan fans realize that? Or are they going to be just so super anxious, especially if they drop one to Ohio State again this year?
Well, there you have it. The Big Ten. It is the Big Ten.
I do believe that the Jim Harbaugh needs to keep his mouth shut and quit making enemies, though.
Well,
yeah, it's fine.
That is, we're going to the close of the show, and each of us will pick the top four who will finish off. Let's go with Kailu. Who will finish in the top four?
I think it's going to be no doubt Clemson. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to have a huge year. I think number two is going to be Alabama, and I actually would move Oklahoma up to number three. And I think Ohio State could possibly sneak into that four.
Ohio State convinced you. Tyler, who is in your top four?
Number one is Clemson. Number two is Georgia. Georgia wins the SEC.
Wow.
Number three is Alabama. Number four, I have to go with my heart here. Oregon. Oregon gets it. I think Ohio State does screw up and they lose a game to like Nebraska. I'm telling you, week five, that's a game to watch in Nebraska. Nebraska's gonna come in hype. I think they upset Ohio State. And I think I think Oregon runs the table. And I'm saying this, I'm not totally convinced on this, but it's my team, so we're gonna ride with it. So I think they're on the table, and they get in as actually a third seed, and then Alabama's a fourth seed. So it'll be Clemson versus Alabama and Georgia versus Oregon in the playoff.
Justin.
Wow. Hey, I actually want to add to that, Tyler. I think that Nebraska's going to be that game that Ohio State messes up. I can very well see that.
Week five. Happens. On the road, it just seems like an Ohio State game they lose.
It's like they almost like have to. It's like almost like a requirement when they're, you know, learning their school creed.
You know,
drop a game you're not supposed to, but don't let it be an FCS school, Michigan. Anyway, you were questioning earlier whether or not Oregon might win the Pac-12, but you think they're going to still get in, run the table and get in?
Because I have to do it, man. Because it's my team, man.
This is the year. Oregon has to succeed this year.
I'm not mad at you at all. I'm a little conflicted.
I'm not totally sure they beat Washington. And if they don't beat Washington, they're not going to win the Pac-12 because Washington's not going to lose more than one game in the Pac-12. So then the tiebreaker, even if, let's say, Washington loses to Stanford, let's just say. But they beat Oregon. That's one loss, and Oregon could finish 11-1. And if they finish 11-1, but don't win the Pac-12, they're not getting in.
Right.
I mean, they're going to give it to them, even if Texas has like two losses in the Big 12. Texas gets in, or Ohio State with two losses would get in if they won the Big Ten. So,
Justin, who is your top four?
Okay. Number one, I got to go with Clemson. They return the most firepower, and they got arguably the best quarterback in the nation. Yes, even better than Tua Tagovailoa. Yes, I said it.
Wow.
That wasn't a repeat. Y'all can go back to the replay and just freeze that and go back and forth.
I take Trevor Lawrence over Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
Same thing.
I will say, though,
Tua Tagovailoa will win the Heisman this year.
Wow.
And if he does that, y'all have to learn how to properly pronounce his last name.
No, he does not win the Heisman. Well, is that the next question? He does not win the Heisman.
That's the next question. A couple questions down.
But if he does, I want y'all to properly pronounce his last name. Because y'all just butchered it
all. He doesn't win
year.
It, so we don't need to learn how to do
it. I think one time last year, Santiago called him Talladega.
It's his favorite movie, Talladega Nights.
Not really.
Hey, great movie.
Kailu, who is your top two, and who will win the national championship this year?
I didn't finish.
Justin didn't finish. Okay.
I got three more teams.
Okay, go ahead.
Do you got somewhere you got to be?
No. Rush. This is a 2-hour show, apparently. Okay, who is in your top four, Justin?
Okay. All right. Clemson, number one. There's no doubt they're going to stay that way the entire season. I don't see them slipping up, especially if Lawrence, especially Travis Etienne, and their defense is just going to be nasty again. So I just don't see many people scoring a whole lot of points against them, even in garbage time. So number one, I'm going to go with Alabama, number two. They're going to win the SEC. They will beat Georgia. That will be Georgia's one loss. Georgia will be number three. At number four, I'm going with Oklahoma.
For Oklahoma. Kailu, who is in your top two, and who will win the national championship?
I hate to say, but I think it's, again, going to be Clemson, Alabama. They're stacked again. Trevor Lawrence has returned again. They have an easy schedule in the ACC. I don't see them having any trouble. Georgia and LSU can't beat Alabama in big games. And although I would love to see Oklahoma, my team, win the national championship, I still have questions about our defense. The offensive line is missing a lot of players. They went to the NFL. So I think Clemson probably could potentially win another national championship. I would hate it, but I think it's probably going to happen.
Back to back, Tyler. Do you agree? Who is in your top two?
Are you going to hear Chris's top four?
Chris. Well, you go ahead, and I'll try to reconnect with him because he hanged up on us. But we'll see.
Oh, great. I think Oregon wins it all. No, okay. No, I think that Clemson and Alabama. I think Bama wins. Bama comes back.
Wow.
They lose the SEC championship. They beat Clemson. They have I don't love Clemson's defense this year. They lost a lot of talent. I think actually Tua has a good game against them. And I then have Georgia versus Oregon. My heart says Oregon, but no, Georgia goes
out. You have reached the voicemail box of 585.
Okay,
Ryan ain't coming back.
and then Santiago is just, he's like random over there. He's just like. Pretty soon we're going to have a voicemail for like a love line. Hey, you've reached Angie. Anyway, so back to what I was talking about. But I think Georgia has too much talent. I think Georgia plays against, obviously, versus Bama. So it's Georgia-Alabama final. And I think Bama does revenge again, kind of like they did 2 years ago. I think Bama wins the national title.
Justin, do you agree with that?
Well, I have to follow the lead here. I think it's going to be Clemson and Alabama yet again. I know the nation is going to hate to hear that because they're quite fed up with it. They're Bama fatigued, and at this point, they're probably going to be Clemson fatigued. So, however, it's going to be them again. Sorry, get used to it. They're the top programs in the country until someone knocks them off, but it's not going to be anyone this year. Okay, so. With that being said, as I was saying earlier, this is revenge season for Alabama. And Alabama's record in revenge games, Saban's record in revenge games, is quite nice. I don't think they've lost a revenge game, and they're not going to lose this one. I think Alabama's going to come into that game pissed off. Can I say that on the sportscast? Anyway,
yes,
going to come in pissed off. And they're going to be ready. I think it's going to be a slugfest, but Alabama will not lose that game. They will take back their crown and win the national title.
And back to Justin, who will win the Heisman? I think you mentioned it before, but I just want to reconfirm.
Hold on. I got one rebuttal to
okay.
both,
go ahead.
Guys. If Georgia and Alabama play each other in the SEC title game, one team obviously wins, the other team loses. I do think they both make the playoffs. I'd be willing
Absolutely.
To wager any of you guys $100 they do not put them against each other in the playoff semifinal game. So whoever
I think
the
they would just
is,
from the stamp.
I don't think
I'm
so.
I'm sorry.
I think they'll put them as the fourth seed. They'll put whoever the like Ohio State, Oklahoma, Oregon, whoever it is. I think they'll put them as the third seed, and they'll put Alabama, Georgia, because they would have lost one game and not won their conference. And people also do not want to see the rematch of the SEC title game in the final. So that's the only thing you guys haven't played against each other. I don't think it's going to be like that. I think it'll be
I don't know.
The loser will have to play Clemson.
I honestly think that people aren't going to want to see Georgia and Alabama, back to back again. I think they're just
Who says it'll be back again? They're playing Clemson. There's a good chance Clemson could beat them. They're the defending national champion.
It's not back to back
because last year was Clemson versus Bama.
Well, I completely went against what I said earlier, but yeah, I think they'll schedule again back to back for the very reason of they don't want to have another SEC team national championship. I think people are tired of it. They're tired of hearing about the SEC, and they don't want to have that happen again. So, Clemson, Bama for the title game, but Georgia and Alabama will face again in the playoff semifinal.
There you have it.
Okay.
Let's go.
Going to wager 100 on it?
Sure. and if Tua Tagovailoa wins the Heisman, I'm going to send you his jersey, and I want you to wear it and post it on all your social media.
I'll do it. Don't make me.
Justin Riley, who will win the Heisman?
Tua Tagovailoa will win the Heisman this year.
Tyler Turner.
Okay, well, I'm kind of torn now because I had Oregon running the table. And if they run the table, Justin Herbert will probably have a pretty good chance. But then you have Trevor Lawrence, who I think is the best quarterback in college football, and he's going to run the table. You know what? I'm going to go Herbert. Because then no one else could pick him. I mean, if he runs the table, which I, on the fly, kind of picked, even though I didn't necessarily have him win the Pac-12. But I think they run the table, and I think Herbert, because of that, they're going to run the table because of his play. So I go Justin Herbert.
Kailu, who win the Heisman?
I think Trevor Lawrence wins the Heisman. I think he's going to continue to build off last year. He was only a freshman last year, and ever since he stepped in, for the quarterback that they had there, I think he's definitely going to win. I think you have Justin Ross returning this year, who I think is going to have a really good season. You have Travis Etienne in the backfield. They're both going to have a really, really good year. I think Trevor Lawrence is definitely going to win Heisman this year.
Kailu, and who will be the sleeper this year in college football?
Who's going to be sleeper this year in college football?
Yeah.
In terms of the Heisman or in terms of teams?
Teams-wise. Who will be the dark horse / sleeper?
I guess you got to think Georgia. If you're thinking in terms of like SEC and not favorite, like they're going to be in top four conversation. But I guess you want to like go sleeper. I would say Georgia.
Yeah, I mean they could win it. To be honest with the talent, Tyler, who is your sleeper for college football this season?
So you have to clarify this question because Georgia is a sleeper.
I mean, they're not favorite to win it, though.
They're top four. I mean, like a sleeper as in like, to get into live Oregon.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a sleeper.
They're a sleeper.
but who's going to be sleepy good? Like, who's going to surprise you? Nebraska. They upset Ohio State and they make the Big Ten championship game. I mean, I don't think they complete for a playoff, but I think a team that was 4-8 that just fired a coach 2 years ago and 2 years later upsets one of the top teams in the country and makes the Big Ten title game. Yeah, I would consider them and then Oregon if they run the table and make it into the playoffs. They're that sleeper. So,
Justin Riley, who is your sleeper / dark horse for this season?
Kentucky.
There you go.
No,
oh my! No, they're not.
No, they're not.
What the fuck?
That's right. Yeah, I mean, no more Benny Snell. No more.
That's where Daniel Jones came from,
they're
right?
They're 4-8. No, I know what to do. They're 4-8 this year.
I think they won 7 or 8 this year. I say 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think 7 or 8. I mean, but anyway,
they're in the East.
I'm kind of torn with this, you know. I'd like to say Texas A&M will be a sleeper.
You did mention that before,
that schedule is just absolutely brutal.
Brutal.
However, I think out of those top dogs they play, they're going to upset one of them. So that's going to project
them
pretty high.
Who are they going to upset, Justin?
They're either going to upset Georgia or they're going to upset Alabama.
Well, because if they upset Georgia and Georgia loses the SEC title game, Georgia is not making the playoffs.
Right. I'm just saying it could happen. I don't say it will happen. I just feel like one of those games they'll sneak up and they're gonna win. But I think the biggest thing for me is they don't have the experience yet or have the depth to run the table yet. They will. I mean, I think Jimbo Fisher is eventually going to get them to that level, but it's not going to be this year. I think they're a year away. They've had some solid recruiting classes, but it's not going to be this year. So, sleeper, I mean, Georgia's not a sleeper because everybody kind of expects them to finally take that leap and take that elite place, and everybody thinks at some point they're going to eventually knock off Bama. So they wouldn't be a surprise to anyone if they were to do it. Kind of torn. I think that Texas might possibly do it, but I'm going to go with Tyler's pick, and I'm going to say Nebraska. I think Nebraska is going to surprise a lot of people. I'm kind of back and forth with this one. I think there's a lot of hype around them. I don't know if they're quite ready to handle the hype, but I really like the passion and the intensity they played with every game last year. I mean, even when they went that span of all those losses in a row, they were still like competing, like they were winning those games. And there's like a tremendous heart right there, and that's why I love them to be the sleeper in the Big Ten and go to the Big Ten title game. So they're the sleeper this year.
There you have it. Let's go into game predictions. We're gonna predict Miami, Florida first. Kailu, who do you have between Miami at Florida?
Major League Baseball?
No, for college football. Good one.
Miami and Florida?
Yeah.
I would go Florida.
Tyler?
I think Florida, on paper, they're very close as far as talent, but I trust Dan Mullen, the guy who's won pretty consistent basis in 10 years over a first-time head coach. I go Florida.
Justin Riley?
Okay. I like it because the opening game is actually a rivalry game. But on paper, as well as on the field, I got to go with Florida just because, mainly because of Felipe Franks. And not that he's great, but he's the most experienced quarterback in this contest. And they just picked Deron Williams to start for Miami, which I'm still kind of scratching my head there. Didn't really see that coming. And, you know, we may even see Martell play at some point during the game at quarterback. But I just think of having that quarterback position solidified for Florida is a huge, huge advantage. And I just think across the board, Florida just has way more talent than Miami does. And I think Miami's going to have a hard time moving the ball against the Florida defense. So I'm going to go with Florida in this contest.
Kailu, Oregon versus...
Talent-wise, by the way, they're pretty close. When you look at the talent on paper, like metrics of like 4 stars, blue chippers, top, it's pretty close.
So it's a 50-50 game.
Pretty even. As far as talent. But I think where, the big
when it
difference
comes to
is
tactics.
The experienced quarterback. And it's the experienced quarterback and the experienced coach. But talent, as far as, like, the blue chip prospect and stuff, it's about as even as you can get. I was actually looking at the comparison of the two rosters, like, a couple hours ago.
There you have it. Tyler is our talent scouter. He definitely knows what's up, what's going to happen in the next few years with talent. Let's go Oregon-Auburn, biggest game for the opening weekend next weekend as well. Tyler, who you have?
I have them run in the table.
Score-wise.
I actually have pretty, for a while, really convinced myself. Even these injuries to wide receivers got me a little worried. But I've always thought, Justin Herbert, 4-year starter versus a true freshman quarterback. I think that's the difference. Oregon.
Kailu, Oregon or Auburn?
Yeah, I also have to go Oregon for the same reasons. Oregon experience is a big yes for Justin Herbert. You're a senior. You want to finish strong. You got a lot of NFL scouts still looking at you. They want to project your career going forward. So I think he's going to have a huge year this year.
Riley, so, who do you have?
I think it's going to be a low-scoring affair. I think it's going to come down to experience and who makes the least mistakes.
at quarterback position. And I'm a big SEC guy, and I cheer for the SEC outside of when they play Alabama, and I'll be cheering for Auburn in this game. But the reality of it is, Justin Herbert is the man. He's the most talented on the field. He's going to be a top 10, maybe even number one pick in the NFL draft. And Nix is a baby when it comes in terms of experience. And cutting your teeth against Justin Herbert, I'm sorry, he's just not going to measure up. I think the kid's talented. I think he'll eventually get to be something, but he doesn't have experience, and experience is so huge, especially in a game like this on a national stage, national television, NFL scouts, you know. And I don't really like Auburn's backfield right now. They have the better defense, and I think that defense is going to get to Herbert and bang him up a little bit. But I just think that Justin Herbert is going to make a lot more plays than Nix and Auburn's offense will. And Oregon's going to win this game.
There you have it. This is the end of the college football preview show. Each of you guys say closing words and how they can reach you. Kailu first.
You can reach me on Twitter at KailuBorden12. And you can also reach me on Instagram at KailuB123.
Ty Turner.
Looking forward to this season. Rock it out. Bring a lot of good articles, podcasts for you. Looking out at SportsCast. You can reach me at TurnerCast. And go Ducks.
Justin Riley.
did we just give up on Ryan Krista?
Well, I tried to call him, but you guys don't want to hear his voicemails.
I'm going to pick his final four.
Florida's not going to be in the top four. I hope not.
What was his final four? Florida, Miami, UCF, and FAU?
Probably.
Yeah.
Maybe Virginia Tech.
No, I think he'll. I know he doesn't have Florida because I talked to him. He'd be happy with 9 wins.
I'm just kidding. I'm just picking. Okay. As far as how you can reach me, my personal account is 121 Training. That's number 12 and 1 spelled out Training, both on Twitter and Instagram. But I'm also running the SportsCast Twitter handle a lot of the time. At the SportsCast 1. And then as far as remarks, man, I'm really looking forward to this college football season. This is probably one of the most exciting seasons to date, and it's going to be really awesome to see how it plays out. I'm anxious to see if Alabama can get back to the college football playoff for another consecutive year, and really hoping we get another shot at Clemson. Biggest thing for me is, more than getting at Clemson, I would really love to see Alabama and Oklahoma square off again. Tua versus Jalen Hurts, probably the best event we'll see on TV, probably as bigger than a WWE pay-per-view. But I'd love to see that. But, yeah, it's going to be a great year. Looking forward to that. And all you people who are listening, please go to our website, check out our articles and podcasts. We're putting out great material every day or every other day. So please go to our website. Love to have some debates. Please comment and talk to any of us. We'd love to get into it with you.
And there you have it, thesportscast.net. Follow us on Twitter at the SportsCast1. College football is our main entree on the SportsCast, and we'll be on Twitter, and we'll be probably just commenting on some with certain games, of course, like the big games, of course, and of course we'll just be throughout the whole year with college football. It should be pretty exciting, and towards the end we'll see the top four, and then like the playoffs begin. And anyways, the previous show is complete. I feel really, really, really convinced we gave you guys a good analysis of what's going to happen. And, of course, we'll probably have these guys come back towards the end of the season to talk about what happened and talk about the playoffs. Guys, I appreciate you guys coming on to the SportsCast.
Thank you.
Hey, did we get a random question of the day?
Good question. Random question of the day. I don't have one. If you guys...
What?
Random
question of the day?
One? Okay, let me look for one right now.
Ask Krista. Yeah.
What is your favorite college football mascot besides your own teams?
Uh-oh. Who wants to go first?
I got mine. My team. Like, you can't be your, like, team at all. Like,
I mean, it'd be preferably not your team. Like, mine is, like, the Syracuse guy.
Tennessee Vols.
Okay.
Volunteers.
Okay. Kailu, do you have anyone in mind?
I like Alabama's mascot.
Okay.
Yeah. Justin. Real Big Al.
Justin?
I mean, other than Big Al, of course. I got to go with Otto the Orange.
Is he from Syracuse, right?
Yes.
That's mine, too.
Mascot.
Yeah, I think he made some news a couple years ago, I think. So I definitely remember him. But, yeah, there you have it. College football is the best time of the year. The fall kicks in. And, of course, you enjoy your food, enjoy whatever you drink, even water. And let's see what happens. Guys, until next time.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Have fun.